Thank you, Mrs. Browning, Mrs. McKinney, Mrs. Carol Clemenson. Thank you very much. It's beautiful, special music. Adds so much and is so much a part of God and God's holy days and Sabbath services that it wouldn't be the same without it. And we are blessed with a lot of talented people here. Well, God's holy days shows us what God has prepared for all of mankind. And I'll just briefly go over, not trying to redo Mr. Call's sermon, but as an intro, those who have been called out of the world that understands God's holy days in comparison to the rest of the world, maybe 1%, I don't even know if it's that many. The world does not yet understand God's plan of salvation because God has not opened their minds yet, but they will have the opportunity at one time, at some time. The plan starts in the spring, as Mr. Call said, with the spring holy days, which is a sacrifice of not only Jesus Christ, but his Father, our Father in heaven, God the Father. He gave his only Son, as you know. Then it moves on to Pentecost, as which represents the body here, the first fruits, those called out to be the very first called that Christ will marry at his return. And then it goes on from there, and I won't take up any more time going into detail with that. But today, I wanted to look at the hope of our salvation, the hope of our salvation, and the wedding of the Lamb. Before we go there, I would like to make some points that will back that up. So we'll begin in Revelation 18. Revelation 18, beginning in verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory, and he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a habitation of demons and prisons of every foul spirit and cage of every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Drop down to verse 8. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day. Death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxurious with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for a fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in one hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will mourn over and weep over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. The fall of Satan's form of government, which is called Babylon, is illustrated here. Satan has used his form of government to deceive the world, blind the eyes of mankind from the truth, and has kept as a whole the world in ignorance. While pushing physical riches, idol worship, and all forms of lewdness and entertainment that occupies a large portion of mankind's day, at least in the what so-called industrialized, civilized part of the world. Let's turn to 1 John, please. 1 John. Verse 16. If anyone sees his brother, I better get the right chapter here. 1 John 2:16. For all this is the world of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Or you could say is of Satan. These three things, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, that's the basis of the Babylonian system. And where did it begin? Well, you know where it began, in the Garden of Eden. Turn to Genesis 3:6. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, now I'm going to use the, as I normally do, I use the Strong's definition to explain some of these words. The word saw is from the Hebrews, I'm not going to say the word, I'll just give you the number, 7200. It means that she decided upon her own advice, or she made up her own mind. No one told her it was good for food. Well, probably Satan, but she basically decided for herself that it was good for food, that it was pleasant for the eyes, and that comes from Hebrew 83:78, meaning desire, or she lusted after the fruit. And the tree was desirable to make one wise. Desire comes from Hebrew 25:30, and it means to covet, because it was beautiful, it was delectable. To make one wise comes from Hebrews 79:19. It means I'm better than everybody else. See the attitudes of the Satan started right then, and he pushes it in front of our face and in society all the time. Those things recited in 1 John 2:16 started right here. So we see how this system works and why it must be destroyed. It's not a godly system. It's a system of self, of get, unlike God's system of selfless service, sacrifice, and helping others. Satan's system has caused so much suffering. However, as we read in Revelation, the world will mourn when it falls. And at this point, as we were told in Ezekiel, and I'll just refer to that, at this point about 2/3 of the world population is dead through coming out of the tribulation. When Christ returns, and then after he's finished, that'll leave about 10%. But at this point, if we took it today, around 8 billion people, that means 5 billion people are already dead. Yet when the system falls, the world still mourns for it. They want it back. Everything will get better. Just need a little more time, they might say. However, the world will not get better. Matter of fact, God tells us that if he doesn't intervene when he does, the world will not even exist. This system of Satan is dirty, sinful, and very loud. It's no wonder the angels have to blow the trumpet so loud at an ear-splitting level. You ever go into a room with a bunch of kids that's clamoring and making so much noise? You have to get really loud to get above them. And then everyone gets quiet. Maybe that's why the angels are blasting it out in the whole world. What was that? Have to get above all the noise. Let's turn to Revelation 18. Revelation, 18, verse 21. Revelation 18:21. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. With violence. That's from the Greek 37:31, and it means extreme violence. After 6,000 years with Satan's rule and all the violence that's happened throughout all the generations, this is a culmination of that brought about by God. It's going to be pretty extreme. Verse 22, the sounds of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. Now, what's wrong with music? I happen to like music. I kind of have my business in music. Well, there's nothing wrong with music. God invented music. It's the wrong use of music. And how many times, and we're all going to get to go through this in a few months, do you walk into a department store in December, and when you walk out, you just can't get it out of your head, can you? Over and over, you sing, you do everything you can, but it just plays around. Well, Satan has done a good job. He uses what God built within his body that we're told in Ezekiel of the chords and or the pipes and so forth, and creates this gorgeous music sometimes, just wonderful music. That's the biggest fight I have with those new people coming in ABC. Listen to this song, it's so pretty. And it may be so awful because it's the words, not the music that matters. Now, music's important once the words are okay. I just brought that out as an example. At this point, you might it might be like a parent that just has had enough. No more! This system is done away with. It will never be brought back again. That's trying to illustrate the extreme violence. I hope I didn't hurt my wife's ears. Matthew 24, please. Matthew 24, verse 38. I'll back up to verse 36 first. A heading in this section in my Bible says, no one knows the hour, the day, or the hour. It says, but of that day and hour no one knows, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, I don't know, once Christ went to heaven and it sat on God's right hand, if God whispered it in his ear when it was, but who knows? It doesn't matter, does it? But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. And then it goes ahead and describes what some of the things may happen. There were 120 years Noah had preaching to people, trying to give them reasons to get on the boat. No one else did. And then when the rain started, there may have been a few that wanted to get on at that point, but it was too late. We can't allow time to go by. It'll happen just as suddenly. And the point is to focus on the good things to come. Let's turn to Romans 9:28. Romans 9, I wanted to first bring you a little bit of information that God raised up Mr. Armstrong in the 30s. That's been almost 90 years ago. Now here it says in Romans 9:28, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. Now, I'm not trying to say that God's going to give us 120 years and then cut it short. But if he does, whatever times he gives us, that's why we can't put a date on it, because he says he's going to cut it short. Only the Father knows. The point is that we should be looking at the meaning of trumpets, not as the world does or will, as something sad when Christ returns and Babylon is put down. You know, we think, I talk to people and I hear sometimes people, the tribulation's going to be so bad. I just hope I'm not there. Everything's going to get really bad. Okay, it's going to get bad. But what's going to be after that? That's what we have to focus on. With great rejoicing. That's why God says to keep the feast rejoicing. Because We are called out and we know better. We are to look at the good things, not focus on all of the evil of the world or what evil may be coming. The meaning of trumpets should not be a sad meaning or a thought. It should be a one of rejoicing, because it means that the system of God will be put into place. Of course, we have to be doing our part. We have to stick to the truth. Let's look back and see what happened in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15. This is 30 years after Jesus Christ preached on the earth, around 30 years later. 1 Corinthians 15. I'll just summarize this instead of reading this whole section. Basically, you can read it for yourself. There, Paul was talking about how the Corinthians, false teachers had come into the church, or was beginning to come into the church. And they were teaching things like, there's no resurrection. 30 years after Christ taught. That's not a long time. It's been 25 years since 1995. It can happen again. We have to always be on guard for false teachings. Another thing that they were trying to push back then in the church, this is God's church. Others were teaching, oh, it's already happened. Don't worry about it, it's over with. And then others were teaching, yet it's just for certain people. It's for me, I'm sorry, you're not going to make it. And this is what was being taught in God's church back then. And Paul came in to straighten them out. You can read through this chapter yourself. We must stay vigilant to not allow Satan to creep in and change doctrines or change our foundations. And it takes daily Bible study, prayer, occasional fasting, coming to church, which we're pretty good about coming to church, but do we do things in private? Are we good examples? Do we help out others? Verse 50 of this chapter. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. In the twinkling of an eye. Am I ready? I pray. Are you ready? We shall not all sleep. Let's turn to Revelation 20. Revelation 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years, and that's just the beginning. 1,000 years for eternity, but at least it begins for 1,000 years. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 14, 1 Thessalonians 4:14. The heading of the before 13 in my Bible says, the comfort of Christ coming. The comfort, not the fear of bad things to happen. I'll begin in 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. How many times have you gone to a funeral that's not of our own, and how people are, especially if the person was not exactly what they think is in heaven. You know, I've had people say, well, I hate to be where he is right now, because they have no hope. That to them, it's you either make it or you don't right then. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now, obviously it doesn't mean we're going to be hovering in the clouds from then on. It just means we'll be in the family of God forever. Second Thessalonians 3:13. I wanted to look at that again. Galatians 6:9. I gave you the wrong scripture. Galatians 6:9. I'd like to go there next. Galatians 6:9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And in some the old King James, I have the new here. It says, if we do not faint. And the word faint comes from the Greek 4486, and it means to rend. If we do not allow ourselves to be rended, cracked apart, or break into pieces. How does that come about? People who can't get along. People get their feelings hurt and they go start a new church. Or maybe they don't speak to their fellow brethren and they go to the same church. We cannot allow ourselves to allow Satan to come into our lives in any way, because he will. If we give Satan a path to walk in, he will. That's why God said, go to your brethren. That's what's this political correctness is the something very successful that Satan has put upon us, because in that you're not supposed to tell anyone they're doing wrong. Matter of fact, it's illegal to do it publicly. But God says to go to your brother. Iron sharpens iron. There's a lot of heat that comes off two pieces of metal striking together. We must not allow Satan to take our salvation, to take our reward by allowing little petty things to come into our lives. We must say, I'm sorry, and change, not expect the other person to do that. We must not get tired of prayer and Bible study, as I already said, or fasting. And we must serve and help others. After Christ returns and Babylon is put down, but before the Day of Atonement and putting Satan away, will be the marriage of the Lamb. He will marry those we read about in the first resurrection who are dead in Christ, and those who are changed with them, hopefully all of us here, who will become the bride of Christ. In the midst of the death and destruction that will be taking place on earth, now I don't know how God does it. I don't know how long it'll be. Obviously, it will be done in a miraculous way, because it's all spirit. Everyone that's in this section that we're talking about will be spirit, and it'll be done in heaven, and God the Father will put on the most lavish wedding party or wedding that we could ever imagine. No royalty, King of England or whatever. They've never, even as lavish as they make it, it'll never even come close to what God the Father will have prepared. Revelation 19. Revelation 19:6. Revelation 19:6. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as a sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, we, has made herself ready. Are we ready? I ask myself all the time. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't stand a chance, but thankfully there is a God. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said these are sayings are true. Our names are written in heaven. God knows where every single person is that he has called, and he loses no one. Why am I going over this? Is because sometimes I think we allow the problems in our lives and of this world to really influence our spirituality, and instead of being happy and rejoicing and enjoying one another's company and enjoying God and services and our lives, we allow health, we allow, you know, money problems and whatever else that aren't that important. They're a minor thing. Now, they seem pretty important, especially if somebody's holding their hand out and you owe them. But we can get through these things. We either get through them with God's help, or more importantly, or as importantly, with our brother's help. That's why it says go to your brother. I don't think we go to our brothers enough. The dead will be welcomed first. So, obviously, if the first thing, everyone will be welcome, right? Well done, good and faithful servant. That has to help happen before the marriage, because it's just you introduce everyone first. Well, who's going to be introduced? Who is God going to say that first to? Well, we already read the dead in Christ. The first that are raised will be welcomed first. All those who are changed in a twinkling of an eye will be after them. But think for a moment. As Mr. Carl said, use your mind to think just for a moment and dream about this, you might say. You're standing there. You're in God's throne room. And an angel or someone announces your name. Won't it be great when you hear Herbert W. Loma Armstrong? And they're there. And they walk to the front, and they're welcome. What about a loved one, someone in your family who has died in the faith? Mid Smith, Dorothy Cornish, Ray and Kathy Bloom, remember them? Rick Shoemaker. Be welcome, of course. They won't have their last names, I assume. It will be God. I don't know how God's going to do it, but the last name will be changed to God. And I'm not trying to tell you how God's going to do something I have no idea about, but you will be in the family, and you'll be identified as God's children. Think about these things when time gets hard, when things get hard. It gives hope, doesn't it? It gives encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Comfort one another with these words. I could have read everything before. It talks about the coming of Christ. But how many times we read over that little two-line sentence and say, okay, and not apply it? Comfort one another with these words. How many times do you comfort your brothers and sisters in Christ? Allow yourself to think about the things to come. When things are hard, when maybe people hate you, or your body hurts, you're sad. All these scriptures give us hope, don't we? Encouragement, even when things are hard. Remember, as we read in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, comfort one another. Like any loving father, God doesn't want us to be afraid. God doesn't want us to suffer. He doesn't want us to focus on the terrible things that are ahead. Yeah, there's going to be some, I mean, the Bible says it's going to be a time like has never been. It's going to be so bad. And there's been some pretty bad things that's happened in this world. But God doesn't want us to focus on those things. He wants us to have hope, to be encouraged. Revelation 19. I think that I already read this, but I'm going to do it again. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him honor, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen. That's talking about our dress. That's how we will be clothed so that we can take place of this. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. How much hope, how much greater hope can you have to know that that is a promise? We can never allow Satan to get his hand around our throats and to pull us down in sadness or through people's deaths and so forth. Now, I'm not saying, you know, if a loved one dies, you go out and have a party. Obviously, that's not what I'm addressing. But our overall focus should be on the good that comes, not on the bad that's coming. Not on the bad that's around now. Those who will be in the first resurrection are called blessed, not because God loves them more, but because he's not a respecter of persons, right? It's because we have to go through the brunt of Satan's rule. They won't have Satan in the millennium. We're going through God has called us out to go through the very hardest, the weakest of the world, to go through the hardest part that the world has ever known with his help. For his glory, not for our own glory. Because we can do it with God. And God will use us to say, see, I'm going to tell the whole world, this is what's waiting for you. Choose life. Because those that will be resurrected and go through the second resurrection, they still have a chance to choose life. And we'll be there to encourage them to choose life. Because at the end of the millennium, Satan will be loose for a little while, and he's going to do his best to corrupt as many people as he can. So we have a lot of teaching that must go on. You go through different things. I think God allows all of us to go through things that maybe the other person doesn't go through here, but someone in the world does. Because he can't have someone coming up and saying, well, if you had what I had, or if you were in the situation I was in, you wouldn't have made it either. He's going to get one of us over and say, come over here. I want you to talk to this person. And we probably had it just a little harder than they're claiming to have it. That's why things aren't so rosy sometimes. God didn't promise us a rose garden, as you remember the song. And it's for a reason. We're going through the heat of the day, you might say, working with the sweat running down our faces when things are hard and there's briars in the dirt, when they won't have to do that in the millennium. There'll be human nature they have to overcome, and they're going to have an angel behind them to say, hey, don't do that. Now, if you hear an angel now, you better talk to somebody. I don't think they might do that. I don't know. I've never had an angel talk to me before. Not that I know of, anyway. God says you entertain angels unknowingly sometimes, so who knows? In Hebrews 12:18, this shows the children in the wilderness could not take God's voice. So they told Moses to go up to the mountain and listen to God. They couldn't take it. Why do I mention that? Because some people couldn't stand to go through what you go through right now. How do you know you can go through it? Because you're sitting here. You never have to doubt it. If you're here, it's because God himself said they can make it. If you depend on one another and you depend on him. So you never have to sit around and say, boy, I don't know if I can make it. Well, the only way you couldn't make it is if you jump out of God's hand and he doesn't protect you anymore. Hebrews 2:1. Hebrews 2. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone, bringing many sons to glory. For it was fitting for him, for whom all things and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory and daughters, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. We can't get there unless we go through the road of suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who bear sanctified are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he has not ashamed to call them brethren. Our heavenly brother is not ashamed to call us brethren. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing praise to you. Christ is going to sing for us. I will put my trust in him, and again, here I am and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaked of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the mighty might destroy him who had power of death, that is, the devil, and release those through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. We're under bondage. It's no picnic to live in this world. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest, speaking of Jesus, in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. We have someone there, a spirit, who wants to help us. But how many times do we forget to cry out to him and ask for his help and depend on that help? Our hope is just like a woman giving birth. Even while the cord was still attached, and she had 21 hard hours of back labor. As soon as Michael, our firstborn, was born, Darlene cried and said, "Let's do it again." Personally, I was a bit tired. But the sad, hard times before Christ returns will all fade away when we are standing before the throne of God, being married to Christ forever, just like it does the instant a baby is born. And she had three more after that. I wouldn't even want to go through it once. But each time she cried, and my baby, because then the pain's gone. But there's an awful lot of pain before the birth and during the birth. It's going to be just like that, going through the tribulation up to the time that we're raised and changed. We won't even think back on all the bad times we went through. We'll be so happy to be there. The hope of our salvation is Jesus Christ, God the Father, and being part of the family of God. And I'll refer you to this scripture, James 1:25. We have to remember to continue and not be a forgetful hearer of the work, but be a doer of the work. And it says, "This man shall be blessed in his deeds," James 1:25. We must be doers. We must keep it up, not just hope that we'll be there, but you can be assured you will be there. If you're praying and studying, if you're helping, if you're doing what you can do, and I don't mean, you know, throwing ashes on your head and going destitute all the time. That's not what God means either. Just do your part. We must all do our part. God didn't intend it to work out for one person to make it work. He wants it to be a group effort. We should use our resources at the feast to help others. It's great to go there with a surplus of money and maybe more than you've had and you've been waiting for it and so forth. But what about the person who doesn't have so much and you don't know who they are maybe? Maybe you do. I don't know. Let's keep the Feast of Trumpets and all that it represents and not focus on the bad things it takes to get there. Keep it with joyful anticipation. Think about the marriage of the Lamb and the part that each of us will play in it. And remember all the positive things that we can focus on when things are hard and times are, and it's going to get a lot worse. Right now we have it easy. Wait till the world turns against us. And unless we're sticking together and we lean on one another, it's not going to be pretty, I'll say that. Remember to help others. To the glorious kingdom of God and to the marriage of the Lamb, to the hope of our salvation.